as you please. If you want to stand up through the service, that's your business. We're glad that you're ready with us today, trusting we can be a blessing and an encouragement to you. If you have your Bible this morning, I trust you'll go to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Today, of course, is Mother's Day, and we want to stick with that theme a little bit. And we want to look at what the Bible says is a great woman. Now, I want to mention to you that this is the only time in the Bible that God calls a woman great. Now, there's some awesome women in the Bible. Never doubt that. Some awesome women. Eve, I think, was an awesome woman. Man, in her time, she was the best cook on earth. No doubt. Awesome woman. And other things like that, too. But really, just an awesome woman, I believe. The mother of all living. That makes her pretty awesome right there. And then Sarah, princess, Abraham's wife, again, an awesome lady. Rachel and Rebecca, Mary, the mother of Jesus. What a lady she was. Elizabeth and Ruth. And then just a lot of women that weren't even named. And some of them just came out of nowhere and became awesome women. And so we're not saying that she is the only good woman. We're saying that she's the only one in the Bible that God says is the great woman. Now, God says that about 22 different times for men. Now, I don't know why. I didn't write the Bible. I just read it and gather the facts. But that's what God has to say. And so I trust that we will understand that. And as we read about this lady today, understand that God says she's a pretty special lady. In 2 Kings chapter number 4, we want to begin reading today in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." There's her title, a great woman. We don't know what her name was, but she was called a great woman. And she's called that by the Holy Ghost of God as this scripture was written. "And she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. And what is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now, if you will, please go over to chapter number 8, and we'll continue the story of her for a little bit. Now, several things have happened between chapter 4 and chapter 8. She had the child. He grew to an age where he could go to the field with his father. He died. And, of course, the mother, very concerned about him, takes care of him. And Elisha ends up restoring life to him. And we'll talk a little bit about that a little later. But we jump ahead in the story to chapter 8, verse number 1. The Bible said, Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose, and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household, and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass that 7 years, at the 7 years' end, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruit of the land since the day that she left the land, even until now. And so we'll stop our reading there today, hoping that God will give each of us something to chew on for the week. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. As we think about this woman again, she is the only woman called a great woman, in spite of the many awesome women that are in the Bible. And we just need to understand, we don't even know her name. She's just called a Shunammite, and she's from Shunem. And there's no record of her being wealthy. There's no record of her being educated. There's no record of her coming from a large family, and certainly no record of her having obedient children. We find that her place of residence was not Jerusalem. It was not Galilee. It was not Bethlehem. But Shunem, it means a quiet place. And maybe that is part of what her victory was, as she came from a quiet place. You know, the book of Isaiah says, woe unto man when he lays house to house, where there's no place to be alone, saith the Lord. And so God wants us to have quiet places where we can go and just him and us visit, him and us commune. And maybe that's one of the reasons this woman had such victory in her life. She is never listed in a who's who. She's never starred on a TV program. Never was there a newspaper article written about her. Never did she write a book. As far as we know, she never won a beauty contest. And yet God says that she was great. I think when God describes a person, we ought to just believe what he says. He talks about the one centurion. He said, I've not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. I believe that's exactly what God meant. When God says that Abigail and Bathsheba were beautiful women, I think we ought to believe that. They were physically beautiful women. And this woman, the Bible says that she was great. God said she's great. I believe that ought to add some interest in her, in our hearts, and we ought to think some things about her. The first thing I want to mention is that she had a relationship with the Lord. 9 times in chapter 4, God is spoken of. And here's something you need to understand. When you have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to come out once in a while in your conversations. He's going to come out once in a while in your visitation. He's going to come out once in a while when you're talking with people. When you're establishing appointments and so forth, you'll find yourself, when you're right with God, you'll find yourself looking at calendars and say, I can't do it on that date because this or that. I can't do it at that time because on Wednesday night we have prayer meeting. And we'll find ourselves, God captivating our interest and our motivations, are the reason we do things. And so we find that this woman, the Bible tells us, was godly. She was God-toward. She had this God interest. And I ask you today, how much interest, Mom, do you really show in the Lord? I heard of the little girl one time and told her daddy, said, it looks to me like, Daddy, if Jesus is in us, once in a while he'd poke himself out where we could see him. I also heard a story not long after I got saved, so it's an old story. You may have heard this before. But the preacher that went to visit a family, and there was Mama, and she's trying to impress the preacher, and she said to her young child, a little girl, she says, honey, run into Mama's bedroom and bring me the book that Mama loves to read. And the little girl ran into the bedroom and came back with a Montgomery Ward catalog. And of course, that probably dates me past some of y'all's age. Montgomery Ward doesn't have a catalog anymore, nor do they have a store anymore. But we find that the mother's interest was not exactly the place. The child's interpretation of the mother's interest was not exactly where Mama would have liked for it to be at that time. And so I could ask you, Mama, what do your children really think that you're interested in? As we think about her being her relationship with the Lord, We see her attitude toward her husband. The Bible says as they were considering this piece of property, considering remodeling this piece of property, the Bible says, didn't get far enough on that one. The Bible says that she says in verse number 9, she said unto her husband, she wasn't one of these Gestapo combat boot wearing, gotta say yes ma'am, no ma'am, and one thing another to her. She wasn't that way. She went to her husband. She had this idea. She's going to run up past her husband. She said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there. And she talks about furnishing it and so forth. But she ran all that past her husband. Her husband didn't come home one night and find her tearing the plaster off the walls and find her with jacks out underneath the foundation of the thing, getting ready to build onto the building, and already talked to the bank about the money, or gone and got the kitty that was hid and pulled the money out and bought it. No, it wasn't that way. This woman had a relationship with the Lord, and the relationship with the Lord affected her relationship with her husband. Ma'am, don't tell me you have the right relationship with God when you're talking bad about your husband all the time. Those two things just don't go together. They don't go together. And sometimes if it's called to a woman's attention, she'll examine that and she'll fix it with the Lord's help. And so I trust God will help you with that where it's necessary. And of course, we find that all of this had to have had a beginning. And if you're going to be a godly mother, if you're going to be a godly person, then it has to have a beginning. Because you see, the best that you can be is not good enough without Jesus to get you into heaven. In John chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, that's to Nicodemus, a very religious man, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse number 7, he says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. In chapter 1 and verse number 12, it's recorded, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus said we have to be born again. And that's reflected in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, one of my very favorite portions of Scripture. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. She had a relationship. This great woman had a relationship with the Lord. Secondly, she had a relationship with her husband. We talked a little bit about that. The Bible says she consulted her husband prior to making decisions. Her husband had confidence in her. If we read past a little bit, the Bible says that after she had had this child, she conceived, she had the child. The child is chained, grown up. And in verse number 18 of chapter number 4, the Bible says, and when the child was grown, it fell a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. You see, this husband had great confidence in his wife. He had great confidence in the mother of his child. And I could ask you today, how much confidence does the father of your children have in your children's mother? It's very, very important. It's an important question, something you ought to ask yourself. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 11, the chapter we read so often on Mother's Day, it says, the heart of her, this virtuous woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Having a proper relationship with her husband maybe was part of the reason she was called a great woman. And then she had a relationship with the man of God. The Bible said that she had a perception of spiritual things. In verse number 9, she said, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. She had this perception. She could look at something and she could see a spiritual implication, a spiritual application of life and what was happening. And she saw in Elisha, she saw something that caused her to go to her husband and say, hey, listen, I perceive that this is a man of God. And then she took extra care of Elijah and the men that were with him. she tried to discern what he might need. And so when she's establishing this room for him in verse number 10, she said, let us make a little room, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set a bed and table and a stool and a candlestick, so that when he comes, he'll have what he needs. And we want to make it comfortable for him. She perceived these things. She took care of him. She obeyed the prophet. When he said, come, she came. When he said, go, she went up to and including moving to an entirely different place because the man of God had suggested that she do that. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 22, the Bible said, and she called her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, and that I may run to the man of God and come again. Here again, this woman in a relationship, she said, I've got to get to the man of God. The man of God will pray for us. I've got to get there. I'm not going to call the doctor. I'm not going to call the ambulance. I'm not going to call the scientist. I'm going to go see the man of God. In 2 Kings 8, chapter 8, verse number 2 said, and the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. She had such a convinced belief in this man of God that she's going to move her entire family into another country, or actually a country that's controlled, by different peoples. And she did that because of her relationship with the man of God. Perhaps that's one of the reasons that she was considered a great woman. And then she had a proper relationship with herself. You know, a lot of our problems that we have, that we wrestle with, are a result of us having a problem with ourselves. You know, you've heard about the person that was so upset with their looks, they cut off their nose to spite their face. I've known people like that. They had no relationship with themselves. They didn't like anything about them. They thought they were born on the wrong side of the tracks. They thought they were born to the wrong family. They thought they were born the wrong gender. They thought they had the wrong education. They thought just everything. My daddy bought a Chevrolet and should have bought a Ford. Everything in their life is messed up because they have no relationship with themselves. In verse number 13 of chapter 4, the Bible says that she was satisfied with life. Very few people today are satisfied with life. Verse number 13, the Bible says, verse number 14, chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible said, and he said, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Here Elisha, who was on speaking terms with the king, he had audience with the king. We know that because in chapter number 8, his servant even had speaking relationship with the king because he's talking about the man that got raised from the dead. He said, oh, here's the woman herself. And so we know Elisha had audience with the king. And he said, would you like for me to talk to the king for you? What would you like for me to do on your behalf? And she said, I dwell among mine own people. I'm satisfied. You don't have to do anything for me. I'm happy. I asked the Lord for things. He's done it. I was able to be a blessing to the preacher. And I'm happy. I'm satisfied. This woman was satisfied with life. Oh, maybe that's the reason she was a great woman. I know it makes her an unusual person, not just woman. It makes her an unusual person that's satisfied with life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake ye. We need to understand that she was satisfied with life. And then she's very confident. In verse number 23... and that's in chapter 8, I believe. I didn't write that down. No, it's not either. Excuse me. We'll go. Verse number 23, she expresses her confidence. At 23 in chapter 4, verse number 23. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today, yesterday? It is neither noon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. She has confidence. It's going to be okay. And then verse 26, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with the husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. This child is dead. And she said, it's well. This woman had confidence. She is very a confident woman. Confident in the power of God. Confident in the leadership of God. Confident in where she was. She's a very patient woman. In verse number 30, the Bible says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She's a very patient woman. Patience is a virtue. Something we ought not to pray for, but we ought to trust that God will give us patience. God will teach us how to wait. And then we find that she was a very rewarded woman. She was rewarded because of what she had done. She had the child because she was rewarded by the Lord. In verse number 36, we find that the child is brought back to life. The Bible says, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. She's very rewarded. She's a great woman. She's very rewarded. Another thing I find is she's a very humble woman. I didn't mention that before, but she was very humble. She was full of humility. When Elisha wanted to speak to her on two or three different times, he said to Gehazi, go get the woman. And she went. He went and got her, and she came back. And Elisha didn't even talk to her. He talked to his servant and said, tell the woman this. Tell the woman this. You know, that could upset some people. In fact, in this portion of Scripture, not far from there, there was a time when there was a man who was going to be dunked seven times. Give me his name real quick. Naaman. And he goes to the preacher and he's there in front of the house. And he said, I want to talk to the preacher. And when the servant came out, he got angry. Not this woman. This woman says, if the preacher tells me or his servant tells me, as long as it's the truth, I don't care who tells me. She had a very humble spirit. One of the qualifications for being a great woman. And then she's very much rewarded. And I think this fits right into the society in which we're living today. 2 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse number 5. You remember she had left. She had gone to the land of the Philistines because the preacher had said that's what she ought to do. Well, when she comes back, someone had homesteaded her property, had taken her property. It was theirs now. And she goes and she's trying to get in to see the king, and she can't seem to get in to see the king. And so the Bible says, verse number 4, and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. Tell me a story. Tell me what he did. Elisha was the hero to the king. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she said, or she told him, so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruit of the field since the day that she left the land even until now. And then, of course, that I think was a lesson to those money grabbers, those people who took advantage of the fact that she had left. They snagged up her land. And so the king says, here's what you do. Not only are you going to give her back her land, but you're going to give her back every dime that the land made all the time she is gone. Thank you very much for farming that piece of property for her for 7 years. You see, great women are always rewarded. Always. God will be no man's debtor. God owes us nothing. Nothing. If we have our name indelibly placed in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are richer than all the monies that the world could stack up in one place or a dozen places. God owes no man anything. And God richly rewarded this lady because of her confidence, her relationship with the Lord, her relationship with her husband, her relationship with the man of God, and her relationship with herself. So let me ask you a question today, Mama. And then the child of every mother that I'm speaking to today, what kind of relationships do you have? Really? if the Lord was to write another book, is there a chance that you'd be named even as one of the awesome people? Even more importantly, is your name in the book of life? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Are you on your way to glory? If not, why not? Why not on Mother's Day 2020, give your heart to Christ, confess that there's no good work you can do. Jesus came, Jesus died, He was buried, He rose again in 3 days and three nights to bring us salvation. He didn't do that to make a name for Himself. He did it because He loved you and I. I trust today that you'll trust Him if you're not saved. You'll be a better mother. You'll be a better daddy. You'll be a better child if Jesus is in your life and you're following Him.
Amen.
I promise you that today. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we please? My Father, I thank You today for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for this great woman. Lord, it's going to be interesting to meet her in eternity. And we just get to learn so much more about her, Lord. But You've told us all that's really important about her, I guess, all that was important to You for You to call her a great woman. Of course, You know her heart, Lord. You know everything about her. You know things that we'll probably not even know in forever. But yet at the same time, Lord, our hearts are envious. We would like to be considered great by You. When we step into Your presence, Lord, it's our hope, it's our dream, it's our desire that we'll hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to finish, Lord, with good, and we want to finish, Lord, to bring You glory. And so, Father, whatever it is we're doing when we pass from this life, I pray it's right and good and exactly what You want it done the way You want it done. I pray You bless every mother, meet every need, Lord, encourage every mother today. Give us, understanding, and give us wisdom that we'll be able to see the things that You're doing to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Pray for victory in our lives that might bring You glory. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.